Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, today we are welcoming Sean Cochran to our show. Sean is a retired attorney and the CEO of Men for Life, a national pro-life organization calling men to reclaim biblical masculinity and step off the sidelines into the fight for life, for family, and faith. And his journey there began in darkness. The loss of his own child to an abortion sent him spiraling through failed colleges, homelessness, addiction, unemployment, and crime before God brought him through it. So today he lives in Louisiana with his wife, Dr. Michelle Cochran, and their five young children, two biological and three adopted, building the family he once thought he lost the chance to have. And today Sean's going to be joining us to speak about how abortion is really a product of failed masculinity and how Men for Life is restoring biblical masculinity and equipping men to speak boldly for life, family, and faith. You could go out to his website, menforlife.org. And we are excited to have Sean here with us. We believe in what he's doing, and we told him, Sean, this show today, we want to just blow on the sails and on the beautiful ministry that God has in store for you. Well, we would like to take a moment to remind you that EWTN is only made possible through the generosity of viewers like you. And if EWTN has blessed your faith or blessed your family, which it has ours, we humbly ask you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to EWTNmission.com so we can continue to bring Christ's message to the world. And as Mother Angelica used to say, please keep EWTN between your gas and electric bill. We can't do this without you. It's impossible. So we encourage you to go out to EWTNmission.com to donate. And we want to thank you all that you have already given and for your continued prayers for this wonderful EWTN ministry. We love being a part of the EWTN family.
It's going to be a great two shows that we're going to have. Maybe it's going to stir up things within men to be pro-life men. Maybe it's going to stir up some guilt and shame for what we should have spoken and we didn't, for what we've done, for what we haven't done that we should do. Same thing for women. But you heard in the beginning that Sean was involved in an abortion that had taken place, and he's becoming one of the most eloquent spokespersons on behalf of life, as John Paul II said. Those who are forgiven much, love much, and you could take your place as a real man in this movement to speak for life, to repair any damage that's been done, and to do it with other men in particular. It's menforlife.org, menforlife.org. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Sean Cochran. He is the CEO of Men for Life. You can go out to the website, menforlife.org. Well, Sean, we are excited to have you on at home and to bring you to our family. We want you first to tell our family a little bit about your journey and why this fight for life is so important to you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. My journey started when I was 19. And the young lady that I was dating at the time came and told me that she was pregnant. And in my mind, knowing what that meant, right, there was a baby coming. That's what I started talking about, there's a baby coming. And she stopped me and she said, I'm not gonna have a baby, I'm gonna have an abortion. This is before Shout Your Abortion, this is before social media. And so while I knew what abortion was, I didn't know it was something people did. And so the best I could do was to say no. And it didn't matter how many times I said no, I lost that fight. And so that was compounded then by the school counselor who helped her to waive her classes when she started struggling after the abortion. And I went and met with that same person, told the same story, and I was told, no, we're not gonna help you because this doesn't affect you because you're a man. And so this is a person in a position of authority, right? And so I left that being told that this didn't affect me, and it affected me tremendously. I ended up failing out of college. I moved home, I failed out of another college two more times. And 8 years after the abortion, I was overdosing in a hotel room at the end of a 7-year methamphetamine addiction, homeless, unemployed, and waiting for the police to come and arrest me. Mm. By the grace of God, I made it out of that hotel room and into treatment the next day. And in treatment is where a counselor helped me to connect the dots between the behavior and the feelings and the abortion and to really begin to heal. And through that, I was also able to begin recovery from addiction, to go back to college, go to law school. I married the woman I'd been pursuing for 7 years who'd said yes a dozen times, canceled on me a dozen times.
She said yes and canceled.
Yes, a dozen times.
She was until worth she pursuing didn't. Though.
God was protecting everything we have today while he was helping me to become the man she deserved.
Mm. That's beautiful.
And now we have 2 biological kids, 3 adopted kids. And, you know, when I went to law school, you know, my goal was, hey, I'm gonna make up for lost time, right? I'm gonna work really hard, I'm gonna make a lot of money. And, you know, I started my own law firm, I did really well. And several years ago, I recognized that with 5 little kids, and I had everything that I thought I wanted, and I was not the husband and father that I wanted to be. It wasn't about the money anymore. And so I quit so that I could focus on that. And Men for Life immediately started asking me if I would come run the organization. When I posted on Facebook that I was not going to be practicing law, and I immediately said, no, there is no way I am going to run a pro-life nonprofit. For 2 years, I told them no. And I was on an airplane on the way to meet with a business consultant in California for a business that was rolling out the next week, and God very clearly said, nope, you're going to run this organization. And so I met with a business consultant. He was very supportive, surprisingly, of that decision, and I emailed them on the plane on the way home and said, hey, if you guys are still looking, I'll take over. Mm-hmm. And so that's really how I got involved with Men for Life, and then the journey that God has had me on in the last 2 years, yeah. That was August of 24, has been amazing and fast.
Yeah. Again, you are kind of the image of what John Paul II was saying, those who've experienced abortion firsthand especially, that God will have mercy, will forgive, and not only help settle things, but even move you further to become one of the most eloquent spokespersons on behalf of the gospel of life. Those who are forgiven much, love much. God's not really content with forgiveness only, it seems. He says, I want to use you for my glory and honor. You've really seen life and yourself. And how many guys are there out there? I think millions that haven't got the resolution that you've gotten.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're just kind of out there and they're told this wasn't about you anyway, you have nothing to say about it, you know, and then they're just spiraling out. And I think nobody's connected the dots for them.
And I think that's a really good point. And that's really where I started to notice that, hey, when I speak, it's not about me. When I share my mm-hmm. story, because the very first time I shared, I had 3 men come up to me privately and say, I haven't told anybody this ever.
Yeah.
It's been 20
yeah.
years, 30 mm-hmm. years. And men don't talk about it because men aren't talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time I share, it opens up the possibility for another person to make that connection and to begin to heal on their own.
And men's symptoms are different than women because we are different, no matter what the culture tells us. Like, as a man, and sometimes when we meet with our clients, you have to identify to a man what it is to be a man, because he's been a fatherless young boy and no one's told him who he is.
Yes.
Or why God made him or what is his purpose.
Yes.
And so we get to awaken that in him but then and help him to step up to the plate.
Yes.
Because yes, maybe this baby is unplanned and unexpected, but this baby is wanted by God. And the scary question is that God asks every young man and young woman, do you want this baby? And right. Free will is a very scary thing because some of them say, we don't.
Yes.
And there within lies, you're spiraling out from that point. But thank God there was somebody in the community that asked you the question, when in your life did you start spiraling? And you were able to say from this point on, this is where something went wrong.
Right.
Where the culture doesn't even give man that voice and say, that wasn't it. Couldn't have been that because abortion's good.
Yeah. And they still say that.
Right.
Every time I'm interviewed, every time I post a podcast or post online, the hate for me as a man in this space is real. And the comments are very, very strong, very hateful. The opposition does not want men speaking because they know the power that men's voices have to end abortion. But you hit on something that I think is really important, and that is the formation of young men and starting at point A. What does it mean to be a man? I'll share with you something that surprised me. I spoke at the Students for Life National Leaders Collective a couple weeks ago, and it was to a group of 50 young men, which is huge. There was 150 students, and one third of them were young men, which is about, you know, I think last year there was 15 young men. And so I spoke on what does it mean to be a masculine leader. And afterwards, the young men who lined up, and these are men who are raised, you know, in two-parent homes, right? Raised well to understand the importance of being a man. All of them wanted to know the same thing. What books can I read on how to be a better man? Mm. Young men are hungry for formation. So to your point, when you look at the young men coming into the pregnancy center who didn't have a father, mm-hmm. right, who didn't have a male role model or had a bad male role model, you know, how much more do they need that? And that is the main initiative of Men for Life. Mm-hmm. And that came to me through my first pro-life pregnancy center conference where I had 104 different pregnancy centers ask me the exact same three questions. Do you have a fatherhood program? Because they know that 97% of men who see an ultrasound and complete a fatherhood program choose life. They know that the man is the number one influence in the mom's decision to choose life or to choose abortion. And so they are ready to serve these young men. Do you have a fatherhood program? How do we get them to come back? And how do we get men in our community to serve, to facilitate? Mm-hmm. So I started saying, yes, I have a fatherhood program. Mm-hmm. And that's the main initiative of Men for Life is the completion of a fatherhood program for pregnancy centers. Our goal is to be in 1,600 pregnancy centers in the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. But to your point, we're not starting with how do you change a diaper on a doll for a baby that's going to be here in 26 weeks with a woman you're not in a relationship with,
right.
Which is what they were offering, mm-hmm. which is to the second question, why can't you get them to come back, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
Starting with, do you know what it means to be a man, mm-hmm. right? Helping them to learn what does it mean to be a biblically masculine man, mm-hmm. you know, to protect, to provide, to lead, to serve, and put everything else in the context of service, right?
Yeah.
Like being masculine is in the service of everyone else and to leave a legacy that honors God,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to raise these young men up with something that they're hungry for, because they don't have it. Even good young men are hungry for it. So imagine the depths of that hunger in men who have never had it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking here about Teresa Burke with Rachel Vineyard Healing, post-abortion healing, and worked with her for years. And she speaks about something called dramatic reenactment. And this is repeat abortions. And that many women who've had abortions, if they don't really deal with that, humanize that child, repent of it, seek forgiveness, they will often repeat again, dramatic reenactment. They revisit the scene of the crime. They usually abort about the same time they did the first time around. They have to go back to it and try and master it, but they can't master it because nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm learning in what you're saying, guys are like that. It's the same thing. They're getting these girls pregnant again, out of wedlock, maybe abortion. They're supportive of that. They're forcing that. It's a dramatic, crazy reenactment, trying to visit something, master it, and you don't got the stuff. You're saying is, you got to deal with these guys as they come to your senator or offer them something that'll help, that the light bulb will go off, they see something different, they understand what they've done, and maybe they could choose something different. But both are dramatically reenacting scenes that are devastating, and they can't change it without the instruction, without the empowerment. So yeah, that's what I see that you're trying to do.
You know, and to that point, I heard a statistic yesterday about the Vietnam War. And during the Vietnam War, the soldiers were using heroin to cope. When they came back, I'm going to get these numbers wrong, but it's pretty dramatic. About 70% of the men who had used heroin during the Vietnam War just stopped. No treatment, anything. I think that the statistic then went on to say, or the speaker then went on to say that in treatment for heroin, the success rate of treatment is about 18%. So we're looking at a 70% success rate just by changing everything. Mm-hmm. People, places, things, right? By changing everything. So when these young men come in, if we change by offering them a new community of good men who are mentoring them on what it means to be a man, so changing the people, changing the things that they are doing, the way that they are thinking, so that they can remove themselves from the communities that they are currently in, or even better, influence those communities when people see, hey, you've changed, mm-hmm. what is it?
Right.
Like, I want what you have. And so then have a domino effect. And this is how we change the culture. The pro-life movement talks all the time about we're not gonna end abortion until we change the culture. Well, we can't change the culture if we ignore half the population.
Right.
But if we rely on God's design for the leadership of men, and we focus our resources on raising up a generation of good men, I believe we can end abortion in a single generation.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, because as human beings, we repeat what we have not repaired. So I was post-abortive once. This is what my girlfriend did, so now I have another girlfriend pregnant, and this is what we're gonna do, and we keep doing this,
right?
And we keep, you know, this, abortion becomes their birth control,
yes.
which I see it on a daily basis. Guys bring the morning after pill to the date. Back in the day, he would pack a condom in his pocket. Well, now it's a pharmaceutical war. So now he's bringing, because he went and bought it at the drugstore for $50 a pop, the morning after pill. So if you have unprotected sex within 70 to 20, I want you to take this pill. And I say to the girl, why don't you turn to him and tell him to take the pill? Because these are poisons that you're putting in your
yes.
body. And they're like, okay, I'll have sex with you and then I'll take these drugs. And I mean, we have lost our way as human beings and how we're treating and caring for this each other, and the church and men and women are silent, and we all want to stick our head in the sand to pretend this really isn't happening, is it?
We're gonna have to take a break at this point. We're gonna hold you over for the final segment.
Okay.
There's so much to share and to unpack here. And go out to the website, menforlife.org, menforlife.org, whether you're a man or a woman, so much good information there. Sean was speaking about the need for community, to be honest, to get things out in front and to get support. I think there's a lot of people that are feeling that we're opening up something that is not spoken about, that's taboo. Abortion should be taboo, but it's not taboo. It's speaking about it that's taboo. How dare you, you know, criticize or say anything? But he's opening it up. And that lets the light of Christ and truth come in and to change people's lives, and for them to come and be joined together, to be a community of redemption, and a community that speaks out with love to all people regarding the sanctity of life, marriage, and the family. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. Up today's conversation with Sean Cochran, Men for Life. I love it. Men for Life. He wants to help equip men to be men that are truly masculine, stand up and speak for life. You were commenting on some of the things Joy said and something else you might want to touch on in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, so you brought up how men were bringing the morning after pill, and you know, and it's even worse now. They're poisoning their girlfriends or their spouses with the abortion pill. There's story after story, and those are only the ones we're hearing about, right? Mm-hmm. Of men who are being arrested, and one guy was sentenced for 12 years, and I think that's what I mean when I say abortion is the product of failed masculinity. There's two opposing forces, or competing, or even complementary when it comes to failure of masculinity. You've got the bad actors who are doing things like that, using women and using abortion so that they can use women as objects for their own personal pleasure without fear of consequence or responsibility. And then you've got the silence and passivity of good men. You know, 54% of men in America identify as pro-life based on a Gallup poll from last year. But where are they? Mm. Right?
Right?
Like, being pro-life for the purpose of answering a poll doesn't accomplish anything. Like, we have to take action. We have to lead in our families, in our churches, in our communities, you know, and lead this country out of that so that the next generation understands the value of human life. Mm. And so that's what I mean when I say abortion is the product of failed masculinity.
So your organization can help men in particular think through all of this, deal with the issues that they've had, get a degree of healing. But some are like, you know, I'm ready to go. You know, I feel like I'm ready to go. What does that mean for me to be ready to go? What do you got for me? What do I do? Who can help me along with this? You're addressing all those things.
That's a great question. So we are building a movement. It's more than just, hey, men, you're not doing enough. You need to do more. And then I walk away, right? Like, Men for Life is building a movement of good men who are willing to take action. And you know, the next thing that we're going to do after the fatherhood program, and look, I'll tell you right now, men who want to do something today, go to the local pregnancy center. Every pregnancy center either needs, has, or wants a fatherhood program, but they need the men in their community to mentor. And you don't have to be a perfect man. I am way less than a perfect man. All you have to do is be present. Mm-hmm. And your failures and your successes will help that young man to learn what it means to be a man.
We're going to have to conclude at this point. Thank God we have you for tomorrow to unpack this more fully. MenForLife.org, MenForLife.org. You're an important part of this EW10 family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Life, marriage, and the family will prevail. Bye now.